If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
The insights as to how private equity or direct investments might work insofar as that local fund happens to do with shopping centres and the like. And I also, just before mentioning that, was letting you know about the good news that's coming out of private equity across the board with respect to Savka, noting that in 2024, on the review of fundraising, the fundraising in South Africa's private equity market has actually surged to a 13-year high. 28.1 billion rand brought into investments in real assets, or at least in private equity. Unlike, for those uninitiated, unlike your public markets like the JSE, where they're traded on a day-to-day, where it's very liquid and one can sort of sell shares, buy shares, the private equity market is quite a great litmus test for a sense of confidence in the country, because generally, well, your investment is locked up for a period of 5, even up to 10 years. So once you decide that you want to invest in a particular private equity fund, those who have just raised this 28.1 billion rand, the idea is you entrust a fund that you believe is excellent at managing, has great relationships in the sector in which you want to invest. And increasingly, as the Savka report actually highlights, the importance of environmental, social and governance impact is increasingly important to investors, whether they be South African, European or United States based. And as I mentioned before, the vast majority, 60% of the investments that have come in, have come actually from predominantly Europe and also the United States. So when people say to you, "Ah, foreign investors don't feel confident about South Africa, foreign investors are afraid of this and that and the other," I think it's always good to see where the foreign investors themselves are giving their money, as opposed to, say, opposition parties and others who would like to tout a kind of panic that may or may not be there. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not to say that this kind of money has been flowing into the country at this pace for the last 13 years. Hence, it's a 13-year high. But this is a reversal. Despite the hurdles and, I suppose, the uphill of raising capital, this is a reversal of a trend. And I think augurs well for the or represents another notch in the belt of the good news that we've been seeing in the data this entire week. We're excited, therefore, to speak to Tepiso Kobile, who is the CEO of the South African Venture Capital and Private Equity Association, or SAVCA, joining us on the line right now. Tepiso, welcome to Kaya Biz. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Silwe?
Excellent. So happy to hear this excellent news. Talk to us about how funds raised last year were almost 50% higher than the previous year. What drove this?
Thank you so much for having me on the show. Yes, so it was quite exciting time for us, reflecting on 2023 to see what was happening. We saw record growth in both VC and PE fundraising in that year. And this is notwithstanding what we were seeing globally in both sectors, in essence, where investors were tightening their purse strings in a way, having come out of an over-allocation to the sector, right? And I think what really lay behind that surge in fundraising was, if one maybe breaks it down firstly to the types of investors. So DFIs were a major driver of the increases in fundraising, but in particular, DFIs from Europe and the US.
Yes. Development finance institutions, it's what DFI stands for. Development finance institution, often quasi-government institutions of capital, or even quasi-multilateral organization, like World Bank affiliated. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, correct. And as you know, these types of institutions really play quite a fundamental role when there's market failure and in terms of channeling capital during times when maybe commercial investors aren't as active in a market. So we really saw that coming to the fore in that year as well. So it was mainly European and US development finance institutions that were responsible for the bulk of the fundraising. What we also saw was an increase in allocations from our own pension funds in South Africa, which really matched what the sentiments had been when we conducted the survey last year for the 2022 year, where a lot of the fund managers were saying on the back of the amendments that have been made to Regulation 28, they do expect that over the next year or two, they'll start seeing higher allocations from local pension funds. So we saw that happening with those allocations increasing by about 50% from our local pension funds. Foreign corporates mm-hmm. as well grew their allocations. Difficult to say why that's the case, but if I look at foreign corporates and foreign development finance institutions, I would probably want to guess that a lot of this is on the back of the growing focus on impact and sustainability, and these funds are really finding a home in developing markets. Yeah.
Tell me something, Tipiso. You know, is this trend of increased investment in impact driven and as you say, I suppose market gap filling investment, is it echoed also on the rest of the continent? How are we doing compared to sort of peer markets that we might be competing against for assets?
So surprisingly, the rest of the continent didn't do that well. Wow. So South Africa really stood out compared to the rest of the continent. There was a decline in private capital holistically across the continent, but it wasn't as pronounced as in 2022. So there is some improvement. There was some improvement in 2023, but definitely not what we saw in South Africa. But maybe it's also worth adding that this is also South Africa coming off a lowish base, you know, so we are now returning to the fundraising levels that we saw around 2019, because after that there was a decline, and we're now starting to come back up. But also importantly, the rand weakness did benefit us to some extent as well when one looks at that fundraising in rand terms.
Okay, I was just about to, just as I was about to say, well then if global fundraising is down and African fundraising is down, then we can definitely shine our naughty badges because we're doing great. But you're right, I mean, rand weakness will help. I don't believe that currencies are that much better off on the rest of the continent, but I imagine much more goes on a dollarized basis.
Absolutely, yeah.
So tell me something. One of the frustrations in the private equity market that we often come across when trying to allocate funds, even when the intention is there, is the unavailability of viable projects. You know, that can take investment to scale, that can absorb a lot of investment. It seems to be there's a big jump from the mom and pop to the mid-size, and then from the mid-size to the sort of large enough to be listed. And these, so many of these projects that matter, let's say to the end buyer, whether it be retail, manufacturing, also need the infrastructural and logistical investment that I imagine would come through a private-public partnership. Do you think South Africa is proving itself to be delivering, whether through the Reg 28, through Operation Vulindlela, I don't know, but to be delivering enough investment across the value chain that might have given confidence to these foreign investors and local?
So I don't know for sure if one can say that we've created that confidence that the scale and the volumes are there, to be honest. Because whilst we still had that increase in fundraising, we also have been seeing that there's an uptick in dry powder as well. So that also forces us to consider whether or not actually there's enough volumes of investable projects. And I think part of the reason is that if one looks at that life cycle of a company, we're just not well structured to ensure that there's capital across all stages of that life cycle and to ultimately get those businesses to the scale that private equity is interested in, right, which is now when they're getting into growth and expansion. So I do think that there's a lot of work that needs to be put into really moving those companies along that life cycle.
Two more questions from
you. But that being said, I think what we have definitely seen is a lot of momentum that's coming out of the work that has been done by the likes of Operation Vulindlela, especially in areas like the energy sector. So, for example, we saw in 2023 that energy was the sector that attracted the highest proportion of PE funds. So we can definitely see that that is helping. Those regulatory reforms definitely do go a long way.
At last. Two more questions I have for you. Let's get back to the ESG and the impact investing, because that's something that is, it's been important for a long time, but the buzzword across asset classes, I suppose, and even sectors of the economy is sustainability, which is kind of a catch-all that includes the likes of ESG and impact investing. How big a weight is it as compared to, for example, ensuring that a private equity fund can deliver returns these days for an investor?
It's becoming increasingly important, and this is on the back of a number of things. So I think, firstly, I think the asset class has advanced a lot more in that space, because traditionally it was funded by the development finance institutions, who, as you know, have always had that as an imperative. And therefore, there has been that long-standing journey of private equity fund managers having to report to those investors in terms of what they're doing. These investors are still kind of putting a lot of pressure in terms of their expectations around this. So what we're seeing is private equity fund managers not only responding to the pressure from investors, but also seeing the opportunities and the value that comes from investing in ESG-related opportunities. And they're not just saying it. What we're seeing as well is almost all of them now are at a point where they've crafted policies. We've seen a number of them even indicate that the KPIs of the investment teams actually do involve non-financial returns. They are even cascading it down into their portfolio companies, where they are making sure that they're enhancing the reporting on those portfolio companies, and also ensuring that those portfolio companies have diversity, equity, and inclusion policies in place, etc. So it definitely is an important consideration, and we're seeing it in practice as well, not just it being said.
Massive. And so important, actually. It's interesting that these funds, particularly the extent to which the money is coming from the US and the EU, are coming from countries that increasingly are trying to wipe out DEI programs. I know it's from a polarized right, but you know, you're hearing that noise in their countries. It's nice to know they're still committed to it in other countries. My final question to you, Tsepiso, is about splits. The first split, if you can give it to us, I know you said energy is the highest recipient of funds in this particular cycle of fundraising. Love to know other notable sectors. And then the second split I'm curious about is the split between PE, private equity, and venture capital money. And I'm asking that because even those who call themselves venture capitalists in South Africa tend to have the same private equity hurdles and don't seem to have the same risk appetite, and it seems as though there are nascent businesses that fall in the gap. So if you can give me those sort of sector highlights and the VCPE split.
Yes, so after energy, manufacturing was another sector that received a lot of interest, followed by infrastructure. Infrastructure and energy have been consistent since 2022 thereabout. But it was quite interesting to see manufacturing also coming to the fore there. And if one looks at the attraction of capital or the size of PE and VC in our environment, VC is still extremely small. And in fact, just today there was a conversation that was happening in another platform around why that is the case. And I think it goes to your point of risk aversion. It goes to your point of institutional investors in South Africa still seeing it as very high risk.
So funny, because there'll always be an allocation to hedge funds. right?
And right, exactly.
There's always an allocation to hedge funds. And I mean, if it's small enough, you can. There is enough risk budget in a balanced portfolio of institutional money.
Absolutely.
Particularly because it is the ground floor upon which we build everything else. You can't keep saying entrepreneurship will build the country and then being like, but we're not going to fund them.
Mm.
But anyway, fascinating stuff. Happy for the good news. And we'll hopefully invite some funds and stuff to let us know how they're putting that money to work. And hopefully may we ever have a very short J-curve in that regard. Thank you
we
so much.
We all hope for that one day.
Indeed. Tsipi Sokobile is the Chief Executive Officer of SAFCA, the South African Venture Capital and Private Equity Association. It's 7:38, which means our Commander-in-Chief is making her way in to let us know what we can look forward to on your point of view. Still curious about what cars you would never own. I'll ask Pumelo as well. A couple of answers that have come through. You guys really don't like French cars. One or two of you said no Chinese, but you hate French cars. What's that about? The poor French, they seem to have a bad rap. And then I'm also curious to hear from you loyalty programs. Our final conversation after we hear from Pumelo is going to be around the brand map top loyalty programs. The Truth and Brand Map have released.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.